Hello, my friend. Is this month marching in like a lion in your little corner of the world? What's your prediction? Will it go out like a lamb? I think so. Spring officially arrives on March 19th. Easter is on the 31st this year. That's a good sign. The world sacrifices a lot in the harsh winter months, and then life returns fresh and new in the spring. The lamb is an important symbol of purity, goodness, sacrifice. Regardless of the weather the clouds unleash, the lamb will be with us. March holds another significant date to today's podcast. March 20th is the birthday of Fred McFeely Rogers. Fred McFeely Rogers, Mr. Rogers, to millions of us that were once children frolicking in the neighborhood of make-believe with he and his pals on PBS. He was the creator, the showrunner, the host of the preschool TV series Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It ran from 1968 to 2001. Through the antics of King Friday the 13th, X the Owl, Daniel Tiger and others, and of course, through the songs Fred wrote and performed like Won't You Be My Neighbor, It's You I Like, and You Can Never Go Down the Drain, young viewers found a safe and calming place where they learned about civility, tolerance, inclusion, sharing, self-worth, and mostly unconditional love. Years later, two-time Grammy and Emmy award-winning composer and producer Dennis Scott, whose songs have been recorded by such artists as Ray Charles, Alison Krauss, Sugarland, Crystal Gayle, Amy Grant, The Muppets, and many others, has taken a library of Mr. Rogers' tunes and created a tribute album with new arrangement and a who's who list of recording artists and performers. Like the theme song, Won't You Be My Neighbor, performed by the Cowsills. Sometimes People Are Good by my friend Rita Wilson. Oh, how I love her. Many Ways to Say I Love You was sung by Vanessa Williams. This Is My Home with Jim Brickman. Let's Be Together Today, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. It's such a good feeling. Kelly Pitler recorded that one and half a dozen more that we will get to hear about during our conversation today. I'll be welcoming Dennis Scott, producer of Thank You, Mr. Rogers, Music and Memories, to the podcast after I've extended a warm welcome to one of today's podcast sponsors, Laura Geller. I don't know about you, but my skin suffers in the wintertime, and I have to take extra steps to keep it moisturized and happy. Laura Geller Beauty is giving us some much-needed love during these cold winter months with the Serum Blush Cheek Tint. It contains hyaluronic acid, which makes it refreshingly hydrating for thirsty, dry skin. A few dabs with the easy applicator and the lightweight and refreshing formula will give us a natural flushed finish that's just enough for me most days when I'm at home or running errands. Or it can be built up for a more pigmented look for a special occasion, or if we just want a little more glam. It's available in 7 different shades. So even if the one that's perfect for me doesn't work for you, I guarantee there's one that will. Treat your skin and treat yourself to some extra love this winter with the weightless feel of Laura Geller's Serum Blush Cheek Tint. You can find it and so many soothing, lovely beauty products at laurageller.com. That's laurageller.com. Welcome to Love Someone, Dennis Scott. My sister, who produces our podcast, sent me notes earlier about this, and I got so excited in my spirit because I started thinking back to all the times in my life. I'm a little bit older than most of the kids who grew up with Mr. Rogers, but I have a son who's a police officer now that did. And I was thinking back to all the times that after the show was over, we would have really important conversations about what he had just watched. really touching conversations because I was a single mom and we have a very different family dynamic than a lot of people. And it was through the Mr. Rogers neighborhood that opened up a lot of those really important conversations. And I thought, I wonder how many millions of children's lives were touched by the words and the music and the love, because it really boils down to love, of Mr. Rogers.
Yes, and I can verify what you're saying, because in the process of working on these albums of his music, I got to be in touch with tons of people who, like you say, grew up with him and whose lives were directly affected with him. The most incredible stories from people who were either in the hospital or things were happening in their lives, and he took the time out of being an on-air personality and producing his shows and writing the music and writing the scripts and directing the shows. He would write letters. I mean, by hand, he would write letters and take the time to address what was going on in their lives. In some cases, there's a story of one girl who, I hate to put it this way, but she had a disease. She had half her brain removed. Mr. Rogers got on a plane, didn't even really know these people, got on a plane, went to her hospital room and just sat with her and brought his puppets and entertained her. And her life was changed, and she's better now. And I mean, you can't make up this stuff.
Nope, you can't. You can't. And the music that just poured out of him. I met a woman years ago who was married by Mr. Rogers. A lot of people don't know he was an ordained minister.
Right.
And she and her husband were married by Mr. Rogers.
Oh, how cool.
But she was talking about, at the ceremony, the same sweet simplicity and the same genuine love that you saw on television. She said, that's him, 24/7. Like, it wasn't an act, it wasn't a script. He truly, genuinely was that kind.
Yes, and that I hear from people all the time as well. He was the real deal. He walked the walk, talked the talk. In fact, when I started this project, like you, I was a little beyond the age of watching him growing up. But in the process of working on them, I learned more about him. And I was a skeptical, too. I said, oh, this can't. Nobody would do this. Nobody would take the time. And he really was the way he was. And good golly, we're lucky to have had him.
So what's the backstory? How, Dennis, did you decide one day, you know what? I think we need a little more Mr. Rogers neighborhood. And I think we need these artists to record these eclectic, sweet, unique songs. I mean, he had unique arrangements when you think about it. And when you listen to music as much as I do, very unique arrangements that he created. What propelled you into this project, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, I have a background in producing and writing children's music, and I've worked with Sesame Street and people like that, and I've had experiences working with celebrities, putting their takes on other people's songs. So one day I was in the kitchen just eating a sandwich, and I had the TV on, and they were doing a rerun of Mr. Rogers' show, and he was singing this charming song called It's You I Like, and I just had to stop chewing and listen to the song. I said, this is a great song.
And wasn't that written for the little boy that was in the wheelchair? I remember the child that was a regular on his show came more than once.
I think it was written before he was there, but it came to be associated with him because Mr. Rogers developed a relationship with him throughout the years. But as I'm sitting watching him, it occurred to me, I wondered, has anybody else besides Mr. Rogers recorded these songs? Because the problem is you get a little pigeonholed. You think, oh, it's on a children's show, so it must be a children's song, and it's not something that an adult would listen to. But being a songwriter as well, I could tell that this was a well-crafted song, well thought out, both lyrically and musically. And after researching, I found out that really nobody else had ever covered his song. So I said, this is an idea, and I was just compelled to do it. I just felt I had to do this. And I'm glad I did. And it It changed my life too, because at the first it was, oh, I wonder if I can make something of this song and how I can change it and how I can arrange it and get different artists to put their stamp on it. So at first it was a challenge, but in the course of the first album and a second one, that's when it became part of my spirit, because I felt I'm really working with treasures. These songs are all gems.
They are national treasures. They are international treasures.
Yeah, and you asked for a backstory. At first, when I approached Mr. Rogers' company, he had already passed, but they were very protective of his material, and they said, well, we don't care how many Grammys you've had. You know, this is Mr. Rogers' stuff. And I said, please give me a chance, and I pursued them for a year. And finally, they said, okay, if we say yes, will you go away? Which is what most people say to me. And so they handed me the keys to the kingdom, and we got started on the song. And the first album had B.J. Thomas on it, Amy Grant. And it was just, the most special moment for me was when this album was done and I turned it into Mr. Rogers' people, including Mrs. Rogers, who was chairman of the board of his company. And I got a phone call from her, and I was biting my teeth thinking, oh my gosh, what if she doesn't like it? And she got on the phone and said, Dennis, I just listened to the album. I want you to know I loved it, and Fred would have loved it. I said, that's it.
That's it. That's all I need. Mm-hmm. So you did the entire thing before they heard a single song?
Yeah. Yes, I guess that's a leap of faith.
That's a huge leap of faith, because if I had been his wife, I would say, okay, I'll let you record one half of one song, and then I will listen to it carefully and dissect it. I don't know that I would have given you the keys to the kingdom, but thank God they did.
Yeah, yeah. It turned out to be the thing I'm most proud of anything I've done.
Wow, that says a lot, given how many projects you've been involved with.
Well, the thing is, most of the time people call me and say, hey, I need an album about whales. Can you write me 13 songs about whales? And I'll say, sure, what color? I'll have it on your desk by 9:30 tomorrow morning. But in this case, that was something that came out of me from watching Mr. Rogers. I didn't expect it. I didn't ask for it, but it happened. And it really has changed my life too.
I have watched pretty much everything I can find about Mr. Rogers, and I have yet to see anything except goodness about this human being.
He understood people, and he understood the human heart, and he knew how to deal with it, and his ability just to listen to other people. I've been told by people that they would go into his office, come out an hour later, and whatever was on their minds, whatever was going wrong, they were cured.
What a gift.
And then there's the musical side of it, which also acts in a different way, sort of like music therapy for people, because he was able to get his message across as only he could. And that's where the challenge was, because Mr. Rogers delivered his songs as only he could. And of course, he had the great Johnny Costa working on arrangements with him. But the question is, how do you take a Mr. Rogers song and make it into something that's more accessible to an adult, or at least more in the pop vein that, you know, we're all accustomed to listen to? And it was a challenge, but it was also a delight to see how well it worked out. And when the artists would hear it, I gave them the autonomy to go ahead and pick out a favorite Mr. Rogers song, and I'd narrow it down for them, because he wrote over 200 songs. And then we'd go over it together. And growing up with some of these artists like Marin LeCoux and Billy Davis and the Castles, whose style I was familiar with, I wanted to do honor to their style at the same time do honor to Mr. Rogers.
So that was going to be my next question, and you just kind of led into it. The people that are recording these songs are people that would have heard them during the time that Mr. Rogers was on TV. You know, the Amy Grant and the Cowsills, Vanessa Williams. Oh, my gosh. As I'm reading the list of artists, I'm like, I remember I was on the station in Seattle when her song was a hit. Oh, I remember I was on the station in Reedsport when it was, you know, the Monkees. Oh, I remember when, for me, my memories are tagged to songs that were hits based on what station I was at, which then identifies what relationship I was in or what child I was raising or whatever. And as I'm going through the list of artists, they're all such amazingly talented musical greats.
Yes. Yes. I mean, for me too. I mean, I was a big Monkees fan. I'm maybe a little bit bigger Beatles fan, but...
Well, the Beatles had more commercial success, but the Monkees were cuter.
Well, hey, people say, sometimes they say I look like Davy Jones a little bit. And I said, okay, that's a compliment. You can't see, but I'm just as short as he was.
He's adorable.
But to be standing next to some of these people, it's really hard sometimes to keep your producer hat and say, okay, we got to record this. And yet get over the fact, that person right there, that's Mickey Dolenz. He was in the Monkees, and I listened to them, and it was, you know, it's a strange thing.
It is.
It's an out-of-body experience.
A perfectly beautiful day for saying hello. You're welcome here. It's a perfectly beautiful day.
Hi, neighbor. The Monkees, our demographic was older, 10 to 12, 14-year-old. Mr. Rogers, of course, played to 4, 6, 8 years old. And I watched the show with my child, Amy, and he made little kids feel safe and happy and warm and fuzzy and cozy, like a, you know, like a teddy bear or something like that. The name of the song is Perfectly Beautiful Day, and very typical of him and his personality and his show. He just made you feel really comfortable.
A beautiful day, such a beautiful day.
When I do these podcasts and I get to, you know, look in the eyes of people that I have admired for years, it is an out-of-body experience. And sometimes I'm like, what do I say? I got to do a podcast a few weeks ago with Gloria Gaynor, and oh my gosh, you know, her song was the anthem of my life when I was a young person. And you must have had a lot of those just out of body experiences with the list of these people. Sandy Patty.
Yeah.
I love Sandy Patty. Lee Greenwood. Oh my gosh, I feel like putting my hand over my heart and standing up when I hear Lee Greenwood's name mentioned.
When the day turns into night.
Hi, neighbor.
And you're way beyond my sight.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood carved out a piece of American culture that was extremely important, not just in the 60s or 70s, but even today. I mean, we need to reflect on those things. It took you to a place that was soft. It was gentle. And it wasn't just for the kids, because I kind of like watching it. All of the songs that we're singing recapture part of the generation that I lived through. When I'm singing on the album, it's memory, like, oh yeah, I remember this, you know.
I want you to know, my dear,
thank you, Mr. Rogers. We love to be in your neighborhood.
You know, and the great thing is when the people who you admire, who you live with, who are part of the soundtrack of your lives, when you're actually with them and they turn out to be just regular, nice people who live, breathe, and eat and everything else. I mean, that's so gratifying. Just when they put you at ease already and say, hey, let's make some music together. That's when it gets special.
So what was one of your favorite moments of putting together the Mr. Rogers projects? What was one of your, like, that you will cherish in your heart forever?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? Good golly. It's like picking your children. You know what? I think, as strange as it may sound, I loved working with the Cowsills because they were just so down to earth. And they were genuinely interested in getting Mr. Rogers' song. And they were so thrilled when I told them, okay, you're going to be singing the theme song. And they said, we get to sing that? Oh, and they were so genuinely excited. And when you see things coming together, when, you know, people don't always know that this, you just don't snap your fingers and all of a sudden you're in the recording studio. It took months and months and months to coordinate schedules and get past contracts and managers and things like that. So when it finally happened, I walked in and there they were, and we just hugged each other. We were just all so happy to be there. Susan Castle, she had some really interesting experiences watching Mr. Rogers, because they had, some people may know that they had a kind of a turbulent life growing up in their household, and Mr. Rogers was a safe place for them. And they say he put on that sweater and all of a sudden they felt good.
That is the quintessential moment of peace, when he puts on the sweater.
That's right.
So what are you hoping that this collection of music will do for us? I mean, you didn't go through all those hoops and jump through all those hoops and all those contracts and all that just for somebody to be able to listen to music. What is your hope, Dennis, that this will do? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know what my hope for it is. So tell me what you're hoping to birth here.
Well, it's a great question, because I never dreamed that I would be an advocate of Mr. Rogers' music. I knew I could record it, and I know we could do some wonderful things with his music, because it started out as being wonderful. But now I'm kind of on a campaign to make sure that his legend and his music does not get lost. I feel that some of the new productions that are coming out, they're forgetting his music. They're not incorporating it into the shows. And it's, like we said, it's a treasure trove of wonderful things and the messages that are built into the music. So I'm on a campaign to get Mr. Rogers inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And I truly believe that, along with the Gershwins and the Cole Porters and people like that, he is so much a part of our lives, and the music is worthy of that. And you would think, oh, that's a no-brainer. You know, of course we'll put him in there. Well, no, it's not. It just doesn't happen quite that way.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Dennis, what can people do if they want to help motivate the powers that be to induct Fred Rogers into the Music Writers Hall of Fame? Like, what can I do? What can I personally do?
Yeah, so if they go to change.org, you can sign the petition, and by getting Mr. Rogers into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, we'll kind of solidify his position in the history of American music and the great American songbook.
Change.org, and then sign the petition.
So I kind of feel that I want people to listen to his music, and I think by creating these arrangements of it, it gives it another chance, because a lot of his shows are not being rerun on TV anymore. So even though the movies that came out, they're really helpful, but, you know, music is powerful.
It is so powerful. And I think his lyrics, they heal our soul. I mean, if everybody around the world could sing, "Won't You Be My Neighbor," once or twice a day, and believe it, think of the problems that we would solve in the world if we had that notion of, "I want you to be my neighbor. I want to get to know you. I want to break bread with you. I want to share your experiences. I want to hear what makes you happy."
Yeah. So Mr. Rogers was quoted as saying that when people ask him, "Well, what is the secret to a successful life and a good life?" And he said, "Be kind, be kind, be kind." And that was the rallying cry of his messages. And you know, talking about how the music gets involved in our lives, when I heard Vanessa Williams do her rendition of a song called "There Are Many Ways to Say I Love You," which is also this jewel among his collection of songs, I find myself now when I make a sandwich for my wife and she's not expecting it, that's a way to say I love you. There, and Mr. Rogers hit it right on the head. Doesn't always have to be, you know, getting down on one knee. It's like, you know, here's a flower.
Here's a sandwich.
Yeah, we're a sandwich.
There are many ways to say I love you.
Hi, neighbor.
Just by being there when things are sad and scary.
I'm Vanessa Williams. I'm a singer. I'm an actress. I'm a mother of four. And I'm a huge Fred Rogers fan. He made you feel as a child that you were in a place of just pure gentleness.
The telling way to say I love you.
The song that I'm doing for the Mr. Rogers Project is "The Many Ways to Say I Love You," which is perfection. As a child, you appreciate the music, but as a musician, you really appreciate the music. If Fred were here, I would give him a big hug. And tell him that he's always in my heart.
So many ways.
My husband and I have a very unique marriage in that we don't live together. He lives in another state because his life was established there and my life was established here. And the time has not come yet when we have accomplished what God has called us to do in both places. But we talk umpteen times a day, and then he comes up 1 week out of the month usually. And we have this little thing between us where he'll look at me and he'll say, "I told you today how much I love you." And then mentally I reel off all the times he made me a sandwich or brought me a cup of tea, or because his love language is acts of service. And then he'll do the same to me. And I think that song in particular really helps us to realize that you don't need a fancy card or a dozen roses. You need to recognize when the people you love are showing you their heart, are showing you their compassion, their kindness.
Yeah. Yeah. His music is now not just something that I did. It's something that I live now because of these messages that just permeated and are now in my brain.
So if we can have everybody in my listening audience find and listen to, although I got to say, I've got the most awesome, amazing listeners in the universe. So maybe we could, I don't know, get it into schools so that young people could hear these messages.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we could have Won't You Be My Neighbor or Let's Be Together, it's such a good feeling. If we could have these played in the hallways of grade schools, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think if people listen to them, I mean, some of them will say, if you tell them, well, who wrote that song, they would have no idea. But once you make the connection that it's Mr. Rogers, it's not only a great sounding song, but it's a meaningful song. So you're killing two birds with one stone.
It makes that heart connection.
Mm-hmm.
I am so thrilled that Dennis decided to create this wonderful musical tribute to Mr. Rogers. There's so many people involved that it's worthy of a long conversation. We'll get right back to it once I've shared some information about another very important contributor to today's chat, my podcast sponsor, the Compassionate Folks of Mercy Ships. Mercy Ships has been transforming lives for over 40 years. Many people in our world have no access to healthcare, and as a result, they must endure pain and suffering. But with the support of volunteers and donors, Mercy Ships can go to these communities and perform free surgeries. Surgeries that help mothers see their babies for the first time. Surgeries that allow little boys and girls to run and play. They change lives through the work they do. Now, thanks to the launch of the Global Mercy, the first custom-built hospital ship of its kind, they can help even more people. The Global Mercy is projected to serve 150,000 patients over the next 5 decades. 4-year-old Amadou from southern Senegal was the first to receive surgery on the Global Mercy. Born with one windswept leg and one bowed leg, he missed out on so many things kids love. But thanks to the treatment he received from Mercy Ships, Amadou can't wait to run around with his friends, and he dreams of all that lies ahead. Learn more about Mercy Ships at mercyships.org. So what are your hopes in the future for this crazy world that we are, this planet that is spinning?
Oh my gosh.
I know that's a big question.
I think Mr. Rogers has probably a better answer for that. You know, it's like you say about music, because the world has a lot of things going on and we wonder, you know, what can we do and is it always going to be like this? And Mr. Rogers, one of his famous quotes when 9/11 came out, people, he said, look for the helpers.
Look for the helpers.
Look for the helpers. And he was a helper, and his music is a helper. So, you know, I just encourage people, look, even if you don't know Mr. Rogers, take a listen to some of these songs. Even if you don't stream them, you don't buy them, you know, that's okay. I've got a second job, or I'll get a second job. But I do. I just want people to listen to it. And I love seeing what they have to say about it afterwards. And having spoken to so many people, the reason this album is called Thank You, Mr. Rogers is because, well, here's another backstory. It wasn't even going to be a music album. I mean, I did a first album, which was totally music. And then this one, which I had no financial backing for. I couldn't get a record label behind it. I couldn't get anybody to invest in it. And in fact, all right, you're the only person I've ever told this to online, but the new Mr. Rogers regime there, of which he is not a part of anymore, they called me up one day and said, Dennis, we know about you. You've done great things. We would rather you not be doing this album and don't call us. And that was a dark day. And I wrestled with it and I cried a little bit. And I said, you know what? I just have to do this. I'm going to do this. And so, you know, with a little help from my son's 529 fund, I made the album. And I just want people to hear it, because I don't think without putting it out there, people will know about Mr. Rogers' music. Now, there were times in the creation of this album, I said, really? I mean, there was one time, I think I was supposed to go out to do a record the people in California, and there was a huge storm, a thunderstorm in Nashville, and they kept delaying the flight again and again. And the next morning is when we had our recording session. Now, I want to say it was with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis. And at 4 a.m., the flight left Nashville because there was finally a clearing. And I got there. I was half asleep, but we went into the studio and we did it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for doing, Dennis, this tribute to Mr. Rogers. Thank you for not giving up, for not listening to the naysayers. And thank you for being with us on Love Someone. Now we just got to get the word out so that people can be blessed and touched and inspired by the beautiful music Mr. Rogers created and the new life that you've breathed into it with these wonderful artists.
Well, thank you and bless you for bringing it to everybody's attention and mostly to the ears, because I think it's going to put a smile on their face when they hear it.
Indeed. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood emphasized young children's social and emotional needs. That was different than any other children's programming, which focused more on learning, school readiness, ABCs, 1-2-3s, colors and shapes. Mr. Rogers embraced sensitive subjects, like the fear of being flushed away, both figuratively and literally. Bullying. He tackled divorce. He tackled moving, changing family dynamics, and all of it in an unhurried, deliberate, caring, sincere style that would be emulated countless times as children's programming took off. He had a song for everything, and even I, who am just a teeny bit older than kids weaned on the neighborhood of make-believe, know them through our babysitting experiences and when we became parents ourselves. Dennis and his musical friends have helped to bring them to life again with Thank You, Mr. Rogers Music and Memories. It's now available at thankyoumrrogers.com. You can learn more about Dennis at DennisScottProductions.com. Dennis has served as both musical director and the composer of over 100 songs for the BBC children's series Nobody, and most recently, BJ's Teddy Bear Club. He offers award-winning musical and creative services from his Nashville, Tennessee studios. His talented team specializes in audio production, music composition, original lyrics, arranging, talent, contracting, music supervision, sound design, scripting, and continuity. Thank You, Mr. Rogers, Music and Memories is the album you didn't know you needed, but you do. We all do. It's the rebirth of something simple, something sweet, something profound that we've lost. The lamb against the lions. Happy Easter, happy spring, happy, happy everything. Happy birthday, Mr. Rogers. I hope you are experiencing some sunny days, some happy times, some moments of hope and joy. Thank you for spending time with me. Now go out there and love someone.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.